Focusing our minds and our hearts.
Good morning.
On the death
it's a joy to have
Jesus
this Good Friday
on Calvary.
Service together with our brothers
that
and sisters
so
from Jim and some of them.
As people mocked him and scourged him, as they put spear in his side and as
service.
They
I didn't know
put
yet what the
nails
choir
in his
sing.
Hands and his feet and as all the sin of the world
Jesus on the cross,
was upon him.
Eli, Eli.
I would say that
Lama
most of us gathered here this morning
sabachthani.
Enjoy receiving gifts, and I trust giving them as well. Let's think for a moment about this question. What makes a gift
I think the music
good
that
or memorable?
Accompanied
what
those
makes
words,
a gift good
hauntingly
or memorable?
Drives
for
home
one thing,
the
it's
experience
been thought through,
and the agony
not just
that Jesus
a last-minute creation.
On that day,
I just quickly go out and get
wasn't
something.
Called a good Friday,
it's a great gift. Well, maybe
that
the
we can
odd
only
time,
understand as good
it's been
in
through.
What it accomplished.
It probably
how grateful
came at a high cost.
Do we need to be
either
on a
financially
day like this to
or
keep looking back as familiar as we are with
it.
All the details, having it heard
it
again and again, and you may have heard the phrase that familiarity
or desire to have the intended impact. The giver desires good on behalf of the receiver.
Take a close look anymore.
When
we
think of the gift of
all.
Jesus for us on the cross,
this year?
It was not a last-minute decision by God the
just
Father.
Brush it away
it
as something familiar.
Planned. It had been thought about
before
the world
foyer.
Was created. Because God knows all things and he knew sin would enter the world.
Some office hours.
It was a gift that cost everything.
Some things
God
up,
the Son
I
coming
went
to
up
earth
to that cross and touched
and
it
giving
and
his life
I was taken aback
on the cross
because,
for nothing he you know, had done wrong.
When you
but
look
for
at
all
a cross from afar or in a picture
world,
and never mind
ours.
Having like a golden or a silver cross hang around your neck,
Jesus
knew
nothing
like that
this
that.
Was the
nothing
only thing
like
his death
thing.
On the cross.
And maybe that hymn that we sang earlier, the old rugged cross.
That one day we can have a relationship with him.
It's rugged, it's cruel. It's so much harder and
I used my hands too much and I could have known
more violent than you would ever imagine.
There is no gift.
And yet it's not even about the physical suffering that Jesus went through on that day.
As we celebrate,
the land was
celebrated. The
in
Passover
darkness.
With his disciples
for three full hours while Jesus hung there on
he
the cross.
He explained to his disciples that the Lord
the outer darkness,
would
though,
mark
was
the
only
start
a mere
of a new
reflection
covenant
of
between
the darkness
God and his
inside
people.
Those who wanted
Jesus
him
sacrifice on the cross
wanted
the
to see him
penalty of
suffer.
Sin once and for all. And
we
that's
weren't
why
satisfied
we
by the
communion
torturous pain
together.
He had to endure
we take communion
while
together
slowly dying a criminal's death.
And it symbolizes the
as
sacrifice that Jesus made.
But they
on our
felt
behalf.
They had to add on
the
to it by mocking and spitting and scorning and humiliating him
of Jesus
to the utmost
us.
Degree and in the most shameful
communion
way.
Is for all those
this wasn't
who have
just
a personal
hatred
relationship with
of an individual
Jesus and to the best
man,
of their knowledge are in right relationship with others
as the Son of God.
If you say to yourself this morning,
Savior,
I'm not sure where my
King.
Relationship with God is, or I know I don't
every
have
every single
one.
Detail that we read
Pastor
about
Josh
the crucifixion
or myself or others
here
would love to talk to you after the service.
The robe they put around him and mockingly
as the elements are passed
King,
by,
the very sign
you're not sure
that
about your relationship, you don't have one, just allow the elements to
the crown of
by.
Thorns.
At this
that
time,
they
I'll ask those helping with communion
brow.
To please come forward.
And then the very words they said as they stood there, come down from the cross, and then we'll believe in you.
A couple
you,
of things
said.
Before I read the text.
And in the midst of all this bottomless
when
evil and vile hatred, Jesus prays this prayer.
Maybe don't always fit in with all of the
prayer
ways that you do
that
it in your church, so I hope that's
the very beginning
that's okay.
Of Psalm 22.
One of the things I like to do is to participate together. We hold
well
the elements
familiar
to participate together, so
to
we'll do that
Jews,
this morning,
as
whether
as
that's
one of
normal
favorites,
for your congregation
actually.
Or not.
Just like Psalm
the other thing I want to remind you of ahead
the
of time following
one
is that
is
all
probably
of the bread
the
this
one
morning
that most
is
of us would favorite. The Lord
so please
good shepherd
know that this morning it's
really beautiful
it's,
picture of
it's good
the shepherd feeding and protecting
1 Corinthians 11 23 to 26
leading them
for I received from the Lord when
found.
I passed on to you the Lord Jesus
the
on
the
night he was betrayed took bread
his
and when he had given thanks
anointed.
He He broke it and said, this is my body, which was for you. Do this in remembrance of God.
The very opposite.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
Yet they would have never imagined
this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Fulfilled.
I've asked Pastor Josh to give thanks for the broken body of Christ.
One thing, let's bow our heads and pray, that you got to wonder about is, Lord Jesus, we give you
thanks
and praise when he wrote
that you gave your own
the following, and I just want
to
go back with you to Psalm 22.
The gift that we need beyond all other gifts.
You to just scan along
the very bread
this
from
psalm. We're not going
to
read the whole psalm,
us,
but
to not just to
some of these lines that really stand out.
But for all of eternity.
Not just, my God, why have you forsaken me, but... Verse 6, I'm a worm
make whole that
and
which
not
is
a man,
broken within us.
Scorned by everyone, despised
you, Lord,
by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads.
And bless now
you trust
this
in the Lord,
of the bread representing
say,
that.
Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him.
Amen.
A little later, the physical experience. Verse 14, I'm poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. And just in the middle of the following verse, this. How would David write something like this? Since we know of no actual experience like this in his life. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The very thing that the Roman soldiers did that day. We don't know of any of those details. We know David was persecuted by Saul and he often had to hide and flee and certainly there were times where he was mocked as well, but not literally and to this degree. The only way we can explain it is that God, by his Spirit, inspired David to describe these very events that he knew would come about, that David had no clue about, but felt compelled to write down. And it's really an added assurance for us that hundreds of years long before those very details happened, God knew this was part of his plan. This is how he would save the world. This is how he would show love even to the very enemies that put him there. And let's face it, it's not just the Jews, their leaders, not just those who shouted, crucify him, crucify him. It's not just the actual Roman soldiers that drove the nails through his wrist and through his feet. Each one of us, as one of our more contemporary songs describe it, is my sin that put him there. We may be taken aback by this why question that is asked at the beginning of this prayer in Psalm 21. Someone could say, didn't Jesus know what was going to happen? Why is he saying why? And of course Jesus knew why he came into this world. We have in the gospel several announcements of him pointing to his suffering and dying in Jerusalem. He talked as he arrived there and taught in the temple how the temple of his own body would be torn down and how he would raise it up again in 3 days. Jesus in John talks about himself as the good shepherd who willingly lays down his life for the sheep, that no one takes that life away from him. By the way, if someone ever talks about the crucifixion as cosmic child abuse, they certainly overlooked that part. It's not the Father making the Son suffer something, you know, out of his wrath and the sun just has to endure it. No, Jesus willingly says yes to this plan of the Father to condemn sin once and for all and to remove it from mankind by taking it upon himself in the person of the Son of God.
Jesus said, take eat. Jesus this is my
know.
Body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And Jesus praying in Gethsemane about the cup of suffering, the cup of wrath over sin being so close now. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew Judas would betray him. And he was now on
Jesus
the way with those who would arrest Jesus. And then, of
Father,
course, there are the words of Jesus
for
at the
Jesus
Last Supper.
And his coming to earth
about
for
his
us.
Body. Being broken,
going to that
and his
cross,
blood being shed,
having his body broken,
and for
but
each
also
of these elements, he
says, blood shed
is for you.
The only blood.
This is a New Testament
that can take away the sin of the world.
Oh yes, he knew very
Father,
well
we thank
what the purpose of his death was.
That Jesus' blood
knew very
was
well
poured
what
out
is happening
for us,
and the purpose of it
so
all
that we
as he hangs there. But the experience
of life, we can have a relationship with you
is still unique and
it is
unprecedented.
Alive,
from all eternity, from a time before time
intimate with
when
you.
Father, Son, and Holy
and Father,
Spirit
I just pray
communed
that we would never
in perfect
forget
unity and harmony.
That blood that
up
was
until
poured
this
out
point,
for us at Calvary,
this afternoon,
paid for our sins and enabled
human
us
history,
to have
that
a growing, loving
that
relationship
unity
with
and
you
love
now,
was uninterrupted.
But also to spend forever
and now that the
and
Son of God has not
eternity.
Only become fully human,
Father, may we never
and goes
forget.
Through all the rest of our human emotions and experiences, but
Amen.
As Philippians 2 said, he humbled himself even unto death, the death on the cross. It's in that moment where he takes upon himself the sin of the world that our own very sin and separation from God becomes part of his experience. First time ever. And I think we cannot ever truly understand the depths of what that meant. Because all of us grew up in a world that is marred by sin from the very beginning. And so often we don't even look at it anymore as such a big deal. We may look at it, yeah, sin, there's a little stumble, we're all not perfect, you know. But Jesus experiences the true reality of all that sin entails, including that being cut off from the very fellowship and communion with God. He's entering brand new territory, a horror
Jesus
that not
poured
even
out
God
his
knew
blood for us because
from
he loves
the
us
inside.
So much. Let's
Paul
participate
would later
together.
In 2
together.
Corinthians
this cup
5,
is a new covenant
he who knew
in my
no
blood.
Sin.
Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
Sin for us. However, we should not think of this as
a
split
part
inside
this morning
God
and for all
himself.
Of you. We're coming, we're going to have
when
a
one person of God rejecting
the benediction
the
being
other.
A song we sing together.
If we go two verses back in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, it talks about how God was in Christ when he reconciled the world to himself. He's not standing somewhere afar and says, I'm going to have nothing to do with it. No, he's involved in the very process of reconciliation itself by the power of the Spirit. The whole Trinity is present at the crucifixion. Isaiah 53 mentions that it was God's will all along for his servant to take up our pain and bear our suffering. No, it's not God rejecting his Son. But it is God saying yes to Jesus taking upon himself that which we could never atone for, could never pay for, could never find any remedy to make up for what we've said and done and left undone. To be pierced for our transgressions and to be crushed for our iniquities, Isaiah says. Human rebellion, our tendency to do our own thing and get lost along the way. He bears it all in saying yes to the will of the Father, that he would become, in John the Baptist's words, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So rather than seeing it as a crisis of faith in this expression of the question why, we need to see it as evidence and assurance that Jesus fully and truly carried our sin, and he carried it away in his body. And Paul, the apostle, confirms this early in Romans chapter 8 when he describes God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to be a sin offering. Let me read a little bit from that early paragraph in Romans 8. And so he, meaning the Father, condemned sin in the flesh, meaning in the body of Christ as he hangs there on the cross. Note, he doesn't say the Father condemned Jesus, but he condemned sin in Jesus' body. How much did Jesus carry when it comes to your and my sin? The answer is simple and yet so profound. All of it. All of it. Without exception. And if it weren't for people like David and Isaiah to be inspired by God to write what they wrote, we would likely have no clue why Jesus died and its eternal significance for all of mankind. He becomes God-forsaken for that brief moment in time so that none of us would ever have to go through this kind of, well, let's call it for what it is, hell. This is the essence of hell. Being forsaken, being cut off, being totally alone. I want to ask a question here. Since Jesus prayed Psalm 22, and since he in person literally fulfilled it, can we still pray a psalm? Can we still pray a statement like this? Why, God, have you forsaken me? Is it possible that people still feel God forsaken? I would think the answer to that is absolutely. Even David, long before that day in outside Jerusalem, prayed that prayer himself. He felt God forsaken. That's why he wrote it down in this way. But whatever we may be subjectively be feeling, including God being absent or not answering our prayers, ignoring us or being not interested in our lives, it can never undo the objective truth of God's gift and promises. Now, I want to give you just three of them. And if you've never underlined them in your Bible, I invite you to underline it and to memorize each of them, and whenever you get into that kind of situation, to remember what God has said, and that will stand forever. First one is in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where the author of Hebrews quotes the word of God in saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never forsake you. I will never push you to the side, no matter how sinful you may be, no matter how little you may deserve God's grace. That's one of them. And the other one, I believe, is just as well known from the end of Matthew, very end of Matthew's gospel. Chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus says to his disciples, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Not just sometimes, not just when we actually make an effort to pray, but always he's there. In the darkest of situations, in the most desperate of times, where you certainly may feel very alone, and yet you can be assured he's there, he sees you, he loves you just as much as in those times where you feel really close to God. The final verse, I believe, we always need to remember is what Paul says at the end of Romans 8, where he says, nothing, absolutely nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. How amazing is that? That no devil, no demon, no time of horrible physical pain, maybe at the dentist or some other chronic pain that you may be experiencing, even if all human friends and family forsake you, he will not. Nothing can separate you from his love, even there. And if you need to be knowing how that can be, Paul makes it very clear. It's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Only as you look to him and what he did for us in dying for us and being raised on our behalf as well, can we truly know how much God's love is enduring. So count on it. Thank God for it. At the same time, do not hesitate to lament in your prayers. I think this is a part of prayer that is so often neglected or overlooked, or we think we're not allowed to pray like that because it's not respectful enough of God. It's rubbish. Doesn't Peter say in his first letter in chapter 5 that we ought to cast all our anxiety on the Lord? Well, that includes this statement. God, I feel so alone. God, I feel like you're not here. God, I don't even know what to pray anymore. We're allowed to pray this way. And yes, we're also allowed to ask the why question, even if we don't get a direct answer for now. And why does Peter say we are allowed to cast it all on him? He says, because he cares for you. May I ask that this morning, whether you're truly aware of that God, the Father, cares for you more than your own parents, more than your spouse, more than your best friend, and that never changes. By the way, that's also part of Hebrews 13 and its final assurance. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even when we pray, my God, in moments of great pain and loneliness and anxiety, we're never praying to the wall or the ceiling. We pray to the God who is present, to the God who loves so deeply and will forever care. One more note, what is Jesus not praying here on the cross? He does not say, Judas, why have you forsaken me? He does not pray, Peter, why have you forsaken me? Or all the other disciples that are hiding somewhere locked up in a room, afraid that they'll be next to be martyred. Yes, we may experience abandonment from people, but never from our God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we stand amazed anew at the foot of the cross on which Jesus died for each and every one of us, for each and every one of our sins, including that deep, dark evil within us that would be capable to do the exact same thing that was done to Jesus on that day. We sometimes think of ourselves as better than that, but we know that without you, we are slaves to sin in all its shapes and forms. And thank you that you came to rescue us. And that we get to remember it, even this morning as we celebrate communion, in physically touching and eating your broken body and your shed blood that was given for us to wash us as clean as anyone can be, to take all that burden away, to take the very consequence of sin away, which is that eternal death, that eternal separation from God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask you to forgive us. Well, we've forgotten how precious the gift of the Son is. So may you soften our hearts now as we prepare to take communion. And may we allow you to fill your love, to not just enter our hearts, but to overflow it, so that we may become those who become a wellspring of life for others too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us listen one more time to the choir.